Good morning. I want to thank this community for inviting me to be with you on this solemn occasion, on this Remembrance Sunday of 9/11. It was a horrible tragedy. I think we all can remember exactly where we were when we heard about it or saw it, began to see it. Horrible tragedy in the world's history, also our nation's history. We certainly witnessed the power of evil and the power of hate to destroy. We are people of faith, and so we come today to ask a key question: what can heal a broken world like the one we're in? As a college professor, there is something that we try to do at the end of every semester of our classes, and that is to ask our students, perhaps anonymously, to write down on a sheet of paper what was the most important things that they learned in that class, that semester. Sometimes that can be a very humbling experience to read their comments. But I'd like you to imagine today, if you could ask the disciples of Jesus, because disciples means students. Jesus was their rabbi, their teacher. If we could have asked the disciples, what are the most important things you learned from being with this teacher, Jesus? I think we would certainly expect them to say, well, he taught us to pray. We asked him to give us a prayer, and he taught us to pray. I'd like to think the disciples would think a little bit harder about that, and that they would come to the conclusion that one of the most important things Jesus taught them to do, he taught them how to forgive and taught them the importance of forgiveness. Your church has decided to take a courageous step at this anniversary time to think about the word forgiveness, to think about what it means, to feel its call upon our lives. I drove in this morning and saw the sign 70x7, and it took me, not being a morning person, it took me a couple seconds before I realized what I was looking at. And then something caught in my throat, because I realized what that sign meant and what we were thinking about, and the journey that you have been on these past couple weeks and will continue to be on. I'm reminded this morning of a trip I took with two college students in November of 2001. We flew out to New Mexico. It was my first time on a flight after 9/11. Felt very odd. We were flying out to interview a monk, Brother Isaac, who I had met before. We were going to interview him not about 9/11, but about his spiritual journey, because he had a very interesting, unique story, very interesting background, very unconventional. A story that he would say, my story is filled with pain. And so he made a good interview subject. But I had no questions about 9/11. We were too close to the event. It was not the subject of our interview. And then he said, I'd like to tell you about what it was like here on 9/11. And he shared this. He described his wrestling with the gospel text for the next day, September 12th. The text for that day is when Jesus commands his followers to love their enemies. Brother Isaac confessed, that gospel was hard for me, but Jesus is always right. Monks and nuns are very interesting spiritual athletes in some ways. I don't know if they'd see themselves in that way. But one of the important things about monastic life is words are important, and you don't use words easily, neglectfully, haphazardly. And so Brother Isaac was wrestling with the fact that the day after 9/11, the text for that day was something he was going to be reading in their chapel service, one of their services. Jesus commands to love And he was to love the enemy. And he wasn't sure, as he shared with us, he wasn't sure if he could say those words. And he had to really go into that. I felt the same way when the staff of this church invited me to speak today. I felt I needed to go into this, and I need to share with you that it has been a wonderful experience for my soul and spirit to think about forgiveness, and you have asked me to do that, and I pray that I can share something with you that will be meaningful to you. Forgiveness is a uniquely human task and experience. We're the only species that can forgive. And the only ones that we can forgive are other people. We can't forgive a tree. We can't forgive a car. We can't forgive our house. We can only forgive another person. And we're the only ones that can do that. You'll probably see in a minute a spectrum, which I've listed. It was left to right. I think we've reformatted it a little bit. But on the left side, I put family, then friends, colleagues, acquaintances, strangers, the enemy. I honestly don't know where to put the self on the spectrum because I've worked with college-age students for over 40 years of my life. And I know for them, forgiving the self, forgiving themselves is perhaps one of the hardest things they can imagine, one of the most difficult things they can do. We'll return to that spectrum later. But I'd like us to think, first of all, about how our culture has its own understanding of forgiveness, because we want to contrast that with the biblical understanding. I'm reminded of how many times I have done this, and I certainly have been on the receiving end, in a crowded situation, bumping into someone, and someone will say, "Forgive me." It's just a oops moment, what I call an oops moment. I think more specifically about being a father of two sons, and they seem to fight a lot. And I one time asked for my Christmas present that they would buy me a referee shirt because I felt that that's all I was doing as in the family was refereeing the fights. And I remember perhaps I brought them together at times and said, "Okay, this has got to stop. I want you to forgive each other, and then I want you to put this behind you, and we're going to let it go." And you can see something in those understandings of forgiveness, that our culture thinks of forgiveness as the ending of something, an end of this problem. Someone mentioned after the first service the tendency to say, "I've forgiven that person, now I can forget them." It ends something. What a contrast to what we find in the New Testament, both in the stories of Jesus in the Gospels, and then the advice given by Paul and others in the early church. One of the main things I hope you remember this morning is that in the Bible, we learn to forgive by noticing and becoming more aware of how God forgives. And God does not forgive and create an ending. God forgives and creates a beginning or renews a relationship. Think of the lost sheep, the story of the lost sheep. Yes, the story sort of ends with the sheep being rescued, but there's this sense of joy in heaven. There's this sense of the lost sheep was found. And we can kind of imagine the story going on in which that sheep will never be the same after that. The relationship with the shepherd will always be so much a part of the identity of that sheep. Think of the prodigal son. think of the father, as I learned in seminary, it may be called the parable of the waiting father, not so much the prodigal son. The father's waiting there to forgive, bestows all these grand gifts on the wayward son. Forgiveness is felt, and the older brother doesn't like it, because the older brother gets it. This is not the end of something. This is the beginning of their new relationship. That father and that son will never be the same. They will always have a connection. They will always have a bond. I think of Zacchaeus in the Gospel of Luke. Zacchaeus, come down. I imagine him panicking. Uh-oh. I thought I was safe up here in the tree. I thought this teacher wouldn't see me. Now I'm going to get it. Invited, I must be at your house today. To eat with somebody in Jesus' day, to eat with somebody was to forgive them and to accept forgiveness. And so Zacchaeus, his relationship with Christ doesn't end that day. His relationship with God begins that day through forgiveness. Think of the woman caught in adultery. Imagine her life after this. At the point of being stoned to death, she's given a new life. I like to think particularly of the two great saints of the early church, Peter and Paul. Think of Peter the betrayer. Imagine what went through his mind in those days after the crucifixion, where he has betrayed our Lord three times. And he might remember one of Jesus' sayings, if you are ashamed of the Son of Man in this world, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in glory of you. He would have no doubt felt that it was over. His relationship with God through Christ was done. You can imagine when the Gospels emphasize that he was one of those that ran to the tomb, that is still probably filled with ambivalence. Am I in or am I out? Am I a disciple or am I not? He is the forgiven one, the shepherd in the gospel, end of John's gospel, who has handed the crook of the shepherd from Jesus to Peter. I don't think any of us ever imagined that Peter would have forgotten his betrayal. But he also would always remember that forgiveness began a new relationship with God for him. His life was changed. Think of St. Paul, persecutor of the church. Imagine you're on the road and you hear your name called, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In an instant, he would have felt, now I'm going to get it. I'm in trouble now. And instead, he's given a new life. A new life begins. He becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. We're the descendants of those first converts. He's given a new life. Forgiveness, as Paul says, I was the worst of sinners. And yet, I was not rejected. Nothing ended. Something wonderful began. In my journey around the country in 2007, for the background of the book on monastic wisdom, I realized in my journey that I was on a personal search. I think that's why monks and nuns felt free to talk to me, is that I didn't come with answers. I came with my pain and I came with my questions. What does forgiveness mean in our world? And after tragedies like 9/11, what do these words mean? I felt I was with Brother Isaac. I want to be sure I mean it. If I say I'm going to forgive, I want to know what I'm in committing myself to. And so I began to hope that I would be given a concrete example or sign of forgiveness in a post-9/11 world. And as so often happens, God answers prayer not at the moment, but later. It happened to be the following Christmas, and one of my stocking gifts was a small book for my wife on sayings of Gandhi. And the foreword to the book was written by Desmond Tutu. And Desmond Tutu does not talk about Gandhi in this comment. He talks about someone I had never heard of, a man by the name of Malusi Mpulwana, who was an associate of Stephen Biko, one of the martyrs of that period. And Malusi was in a moment of being tortured by the South African security police. He looked at his torturers, and the hatred dropped away from him, and he saw them as human beings. And he realized that they would need his help to recover their humanity. He realized that the relationship would now continue if he forgave them to recover, help them recover their humanity. And we know how that worked its way out in the Truth and Reconciliation Program of South Africa, where people were given the chance to come and confess, to tell the truth, to experience reconciliation, to have the beginning of a new life. If we were to speak about this in more New Testament language, it would be clear from Jesus' ministry that when he forgave someone, the kingdom of God came into this world in that moment, in that life, in that relationship. If we think about the Lord's Prayer, which we say perhaps too automatically at times, thy kingdom come. How do we imagine that's going to happen? How does the kingdom come? Forgiveness brings the kingdom. Your will be done. What is Christ's will? That we forgive like God forgives. What happens when we forgive another person? This is kind of summarized to this point. Is that the kingdom of God breaks in that moment. The person forgiven experiences the love of God in a concrete moment, a humbling moment. All of us in this room who have experienced being forgiven from another human being know what a humbling experience that is. The person forgiven experiences the love of God. The kingdom of God is present. And the person who forgives has aligned her or his will with the will of God. We invite God into that moment through us when we offer this relationship to help that person recover their humanity. Or perhaps we would say to help that person recover who they really are in the image of God. The same thing happens when we are on the other end of that and we ask someone to forgive us. We're inviting the kingdom to come at that moment into that relationship. And so I'd like us to return to that spectrum. This is probably the next slide. On 9/11, it would be easy for me to say, I want you to forgive our enemies. I think that would be about as difficult as asking all of us to run a marathon without any training. But I think in all of our lives, to every person in this room, there is someone that we are called to forgive in the sense that God forgives. Perhaps that person's face is coming to mind at this time. How can you be an agent to help them recover their humanity? I don't think there's anyone on that spectrum that it's easy to forgive. Sometimes a family member is a very hard person to forgive. Sometimes the self is the hardest person. But, and here's the good news of the morning. Whenever we start to forgive, whenever we enter this moment in which we agree in our hearts, I will not end my relationship with this person. I will commit to helping them recover their humanity. I will ask them to help me recover my humanity. That when that happens, in that moment, the world has changed. The kingdom has come into this world. If there's one thing I think I would love to have proclaimed around the country on this 15th anniversary to Christian people, it would be, we can do something to bring the kingdom on a day of pain. We can do something. We can forgive someone. We can seek forgiveness from someone. I think it is the perfect thing to aspire to do. And I so appreciate your focusing on this as a community. Let us close with prayer. Lord and Savior, in the prayer that you taught us, you say that you will forgive us as we have forgiven others. Let us turn that prayer around today and say, Lord, teach us to forgive as you forgive. Help us to become agents of your forgiveness for the kingdom to break into this suffering world. And as we think particularly of this day, we remember all the friends and families of those who died on 9/11. We ask through their friends, perhaps their churches, their synagogues, their mosques, that your presence would invade their loneliness and surround their sorrow with your healing presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.